about the book Marching Toward Coverage, how women can lead the fight for universal coverage. Rosemarie Day on the line to discuss this and certainly more. I know Ms. Day, thank you for your good service several years ago. What, your 80-year-old mom took a fall, hospitalized, and you had to kind of learn by doing here?
Oh, yes. It was the beginning of a series of unfortunate events. Yes.
Founder and CEO you are of Day Health Strategies, which does help to implement national health reform. And, of course, here you are with your author hat on. Here we are. You bring women into the picture with this subject. Take it away.
Well, you know, I wrote this book because my first goal was to defend the Affordable Care Act because I knew that it had done so much good, and for some reason it had fallen victim to a lot of really partisan and toxic rhetoric. And the goal in 2016 of those who were elected was to repeal the ACA. That was such a negative. But then I attended the Women's March, the first Women's March in Washington, D.C., and frankly, all over the world in 2017. And I got to experience firsthand the phenomenal power and positivity of coming together with women taking the lead, lots of men there as well. But the overall feeling that we could make a difference. And then the question was, okay, what do we do after the march? What are the next things we can do? And for me, the answer was to write this book.
Yes. Marching Toward Coverage. How are we doing on the march?
We're still marching, and we have an incredibly important election coming up where we need women's voices to be heard, because I truly believe that if women's voices are heard, as they were in the 2018 midterm election, where we took back the House under now Speaker Pelosi, and started to prioritize issues again, like health care, especially in the midst of a pandemic, we absolutely have to get over this finish line and get to universal health care. And I see women leading the way because we're on the front lines of caring for families and making these decisions, but we don't yet have the political power.
Yes. Let's zone in on a couple of your topics, including social services, the other part of healthcare. Health, you came to realize, is tied to more than access to the healthcare system and socioeconomic system. What else defines one's likely health outcomes, according to your research?
So there's a lot more focus these days on what are called the social determinants of health, and those are things that are outside of the healthcare system but that are part of your life. So what environment are you living in? You know, how polluted is it? How much racism do you experience? All kinds of factors are actually social determinants, and they drive health outcomes a fair amount. But that said, everybody needs access to the healthcare system in this country. It's a necessary condition for health, though not sufficient. And we're different from other countries because we don't invest as much in the social determinant side. We tend to put more money into our healthcare system and do more expensive and fancier things, whereas if we could redirect some of those resources to preventive care and to social services, we would be a much healthier country.
Yes, expanding on there, you say universal coverage important but insufficient. What types of social service programs do other countries invest in that yield such different health outcomes for their citizens? And where do we start here?
Well, there's a long list of things. Paid parental leave, for example. We're the only wealthy country that does zero as a country. There are obviously some companies that are able to afford that, but we don't have a national policy of paid parental leave. And we would have much better outcomes in early childhood health and in maternal health, frankly, if we had that. So that's just one example. Another that's really pertinent now because of the pandemic is what we do for health coverage for people who lose their jobs. Most people's health coverage in this country is tied to their job. So when they lose that job, they lose everything. That's not true in other countries. Fortunately, we do have the Affordable Care Act and the health insurance exchanges that have opened up and offered some coverage, but we still haven't fully closed that gap. And other countries, you know, have health care regardless of your job status.
Yes. You encourage those who have good coverage, who are financially secure, who aren't currently challenged by health issues, to what? Cultivate enlightened preferences? What does this mean?
Well, that means to think beyond your own self and that of your immediate family, but to think about the community around you, the society around you, and that we see this with the pandemic, that another person's illness affects you. In fact, it could even cause you to be ill. But that understanding that it's not just about what's happening in your own life, but others' lives, and that we are really woven together, in a single societal fabric. And Martin Luther King put it far more eloquently than I am at this moment, mm-hmm. but really that we are tied together, and that what you should be voting on is for that broader picture. Because, actually one day that could be you. You could be the ill person. But even absent that, if you happen to be really lucky, the sharing in others' pain and voting accordingly would take us a lot further.
Yes. Tell me a bit more about Day Health Strategies.
So I founded the company 10 years ago, right after the Affordable Care Act passed. I had helped launch health reform in Massachusetts, and the model we used was what was built into the ACA. So I decided I wanted to try and help other states do what we had done in Massachusetts. And so I launched my firm to help implement the ACA state by state, and working with insurers as well. It's been a wild ride since then, I have to say, but we continue to work with states, insurers, and also healthcare systems now to try and improve patient access to care.
And of course, back to our conversation in closing, marching toward coverage, how women can lead the fight for universal coverage. Rosemarie Day, you did mention voting. What else do you charge women to do?
Women have not traditionally given as much money into political donations. Men give about 2/3 of the contributions, both in volume and dollars, and women tend to give more to charities. And so I want women to look at that differently, because to really make the systemic change, we've got to change the makeup of who's representing us. And that means we also have to support the people who run for office, and particularly women who are running on a platform of universal health care.
Final comments from you.
Well, I would also say I just want to also change the conversation that happens at the kitchen table, that happens over holiday meals, to just start to make it part of our culture to say healthcare should be a right, just like K-12 education is. It just needs to be. We're the only wealthy country that hasn't done it yet, and I want to change that conversation. It's a humanitarian issue. It shouldn't be a polarized political issue.
Well, I say to avoid religion and politics, but not to avoid the talk of healthcare at the Thanksgiving table. Let's go there. Rosemarie Day, how do we find out more information about Marching Toward Coverage?
I have a website, rosemarieday.com, and there's all kinds of ways you can buy the book if you want to listen to it, whatever. And then also there's a lot of resources on my website. If you want to consider becoming more active in this arena or others, I give you a lot of resources, including a quiz you can take about your own comfort level with activism.
Wonderful. I am the messenger. You are the provider of resources and text. Thank you, Ms. Day. Take care to you.
Thank you so much.